This is real. Jax Jones, Ella Henderson. Hello and welcome to Live and Local with Bebe Lynch. Dame Bebe Lynch. We have a brilliant... I need to let that go. Never. We have a brilliant show lined up for you tonight. We have music. We have guests. We have probably award-winning radio till 10 p.m. Shall we do it? Oh, when samples are used, samples are gold. SWV, Sisters with Voices, and Right Here. SWV and Right Here. Are we allowed to say tune? Are we allowed to say tune? Am I aging myself? Am I embarrassing myself? Tune. Anyway, hello, hope you're good. I have news. Everyone relax. You can all relax. I got the flat. I love the flat. I'm so excited about the flat. You are all, seriously, you are all invited to, well, one of you is invited to the flat. I shall be accepting all housewarming gifts, except, of course, this is the BBC. So forget I said that. Let me tell you instead about tonight's show. From 9, we'll be hearing an hour of upload, hearing your great contributions and chatting with some of the creators. And in a few minutes, we'll be speaking with Gustav Temple, editor of the brilliant Lewis-based quarterly for gentlemen, The Chap. It's going to be a great show. So please stay with us. M22, Lawn and Think About Us. So here's just a secret of our life in the studio. I can see the moth to my right. I'm not going to talk about that because that's just going to ruin the show for me. I often buy producer Ollie a gift because I just, well, you know, I like to buy affection. And today I bought him, this isn't advertising, I'm just talking about a specific, the reason I'm actually saying this is because he's done something so awful, I'm going to have to get him sacked. So I bought him some Revels, okay? Revels, we love the Revels, assorted chocolates within, you know, we love them, they're a winner. And producer Ollie actually went to the room, getting up out of his chair, walking, you know, kept 2 distance away, obviously, opened the door and then said, what was it? David Bowie. What's David Bowie's favourite chocolate? Revel. You know what? I've been through quite a lot in my life and that's actually, he sent me over the edge. It's getting a bounty next time. What a great song. I love that song. It's really good to be here. I hope you're all good. The lights are on in Brighton. The lights are on in Brighton. And I actually don't like Christmas, but I like Christmas lights. I had an ex who called me the Lynch who stole Christmas. That's why he's ex. I want to introduce our first guest. I'm really, really happy that he's joining us tonight. He is the founder and editor of the fabulous Chap magazine, Gustav Temple. Hello.
Hello. Good evening.
What are you wearing?
a silk dressing gown over a black tie. It's just that it's radio, so I thought I should dress like semi-formal. I wasn't quite sure. What is the dress code for your program?
Well, I just thought you'd be in tweed. I mean, I'm guessing you've got tweed undergarments under the silk.
It's funny enough. Something's happened to tweed in my head during lockdown,
and
I'm actually moving away from tweed. I know I'm supposed to wear tweed 24/7 all year round, but I'm actually wearing a bit less tweed than before this pandemic.
It's ruined us all. It's ruined
it
us
has,
all.
It has, hasn't it?
Where's standards? Standards have gone. So you founded The Chap in 1999, and since then, this is
yes.
So great. Your quest
last
has been...
Last century.
I mean, yeah. What, you were 10? Your quest has been to rid the world of pantaloon denim, middle-aged men dressed as teenagers and general uncouth. I've got to be honest, you don't sound like you'd be fun at parties.
Oh no, the chaps are the biggest fun at parties because they're unexpected, because they're different, because of the old-fashioned, you know, clothes and the style and the monocles and the cigarette holders. You know, they're all characters. So we're actually the life and soul of the parties. And of course, chaps love a cocktail.
Oh yeah,
and they can be quite decadent. You know. You know, you think about chaps in the Middle East smoking opium and all that.
Yeah,
it's got its slightly edgy side as well. But I can see why you said that.
Regret saying it. It was a fair point, but it was a cruel point. We've never met. I take that back. I take that back completely.
Well.
Why did you create The Chap?
Well, if we go back to the last century, things were different then. There were lots of lads mags around. You remember those? Probably
yeah.
You're too young, but yeah, there were lads mags, and there was just vulgarity everywhere. And all the men were wearing sloppy jeans and tracksuits and trainers, whereas now... Oh, actually, they're still wearing sloppy jeans and tracksuits and trainers. Yeah, we felt it was time for some sort of voice in the wilderness which opposed that kind of thing, that sort of lads mag world. And it just so happened that society caught up with us, because within about 5 years, so I suppose 2005, you know, it was suddenly everywhere. And then later on, vintage was everywhere. So we, you know, we kind of coasted into that whole vintage scene, but we were, you know, we were already doing it. I'm not saying we invented it, but, you know, we certainly predicted it.
And winning formula, because, I mean, there aren't many magazines going that started in 1999 that are still with us.
This is true. This is true. And there aren't any magazines aimed at the kind of vintage gentlemen, classic, old traditions. You know, there's been lots while we've been going, and they've come and gone, and we've just held on because we believe in it. You know, we're doing it for genuine reasons. It came out of the way we dressed and the way we thought and the music we listened to. And so it comes from the heart. I think that's why it's lasted. It's not just a commercial venture.
What music do chaps listen to?
Oh, all sorts of sort of ragtime, 1920s, jazz, you know, that kind of early 20th century, you know, swing music, anything you can play on an old gramophone player on a 78, basically.
See, I'm going back to your awful parties.
Well, you'd be surprised when the gramophone player comes out. And, you take it with you. That's the answer. You take it with you. And if they haven't got the music on a gramophone, you bring on a shellac recording, you bring your own. And that solves the problem.
Stop. You
can't
hilarious.
Play a CD on a gramophone player.
You certainly, not anymore, you can't. What's the whole, this is, I honestly think this is so great. So the ethos is expand your mind, refine your wardrobe. Is fashion that important to the chap?
Well, funnily enough, you're quoting our sort of newish tagline. We didn't relaunch, but we changed the whole format and made the magazine much bigger in 2017. And that was our new strapline. And we also dropped the to be a bit trendy. So we became Chat Magazine. Very controversial, but we got through it. I suppose the idea was to say that it's not just about clothes with that tagline. But, of course, it is about clothes a lot. And we do like clothes. For me, everything springs from, in what we do anyway, from the clothes. You know, the clothes are not just a set of things in your wardrobe which you put on like fancy dress. They should imbue you with a way of behaving and a way of seeing the world and get some sort of reaction, which hopefully is not negative. You know, it's people like seeing chaps walking around in tweed with monocles and pipes. You know, it's funny, but it's also kind of reassuring because it's familiar. You know, it's not like punk or something. It's not some new look. It's an old look that's been, you know, tampered with and reinvented a bit to make it more contemporary, but it's classic. And, you know, old ladies look at you and it's, you know, it's reassuring, I suppose.
So are you a chap all the time?
Yes.
Are you?
Yeah. I mean, it depends what you mean by am I a chap? I don't own a pair of pantaloon denim. I don't own a pair of trainers. I listen to music on a gramophone player. I always dress fairly well. I can't admit to, you know, I can't say I always wear a tie, but I will always wear a jacket and proper trousers and proper shoes and whatnot. So, yeah, I would say it's a full-time... you know, it's not an occupation, it's just a lifestyle.
It's just a way of life. So what have you been wearing during lockdown?
Well, yes, people assume... I mean, I was shocked at how slovenly people got, and even people I knew were growing beards and letting their hair grow out. And, well, it... not you as well. The thing is about lockdown, there is every excuse not to dress well because no one's going to see you. But people do see you. You know, the postman sees you. The bin men see you. Your neighbours see you. Yeah. You might do a Zoom call and people will see you then. But what the big takeaway, as they say, for me from lockdown was that I grew a moustache. Purely because I actually got the dreaded coronavirus, not particularly badly. Yeah, I did. Yeah,
oh.
And it wasn't that bad in my case. But I didn't shave for about 3 weeks, and so after the whole thing finished, when I went to shave, I thought this is a golden opportunity. There is a moustache in there somewhere, which I can just, you know. So it's been a joy to kind of start, you know, and I've stuck with it. I've still got it, and I'm into the whole, you know, moustache wax, and it's opened up a whole new world for me.
You should put
at least professionally.
Don't mind my okay. You should use lard.
Oh really?
Yeah, I
is
don't
this
know.
A hot tip? Hot
no,
tip
it's
from
just,
an expert?
It's just no. It's just I'm just quite greedy. And I would imagine it would taste nice if you got bored.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. I've heard. I mean, I've experienced the fact there are certain things you mustn't eat when you've got a moustache, like ice cream and hot buttered toast. You just can't. It all gets in the moustache. So there are a few changes one has to make. But there's an example of lockdown, how lockdown actually ended up, you know, upping my chappish or sartorial game. And as I mentioned before, I had a bit of a wardrobe rethink. As we all had a rethink in many ways. And I just thought, tweed. Yeah, I've done tweed for 20 years, and it's that fustiness which you mentioned as well. So yeah, I've just gone for slightly more sort of darker tones in my clothes.
How lovely!
It's fun. It's fun. This is the thing about lockdown is it's there's a lot of spare time, and no shops open, so you've really got to make do and mend. But it's surprising within the wardrobe I already had. I found that if I just sort of changed things around, I suddenly had a new wardrobe, which is the myth about the way chaps dress, is that it's very conservative and repetitive and traditional. It perhaps is some of those things, but it's also incredibly varied. I mean, you can mix it up in the most crazy way. You know,
I feel bad
really
for you. Shall I tell you why?
Why?
Because you're never going to have the joy of a fight in a pub.
Really? Well, yeah. why do you think that?
Because you wouldn't do that. A chap wouldn't do that. Does a chap ever raise his voice?
No, absolutely not. No, there would be, you'd try and get out of something through using wit in some way, or you could always bring out your sword stick, but that's not really legal, so perhaps not. But no, it's a walking cane is a surprisingly reassuring thing to have in your hand,
right.
Especially if it's got a nice silver top. You know, it would protect you if the worst came to the worst. But no, one would always avoid confrontation in pubs. Not that we can go into pubs at the moment,
no,
but
that's
you know,
true.
You'd be you wouldn't even attract that kind of attention. People would just leave you alone. Probably because they thought that you were some old fart who couldn't handle himself. Which can be useful sometimes.
Is Lewis full of chaps?
Well, surprisingly high quotient of chaps. Though Brighton also, what you find is that Brighton has all the young dandies, you know, all the young bucks, and you know they strut around the North Lane in their tweeds and their plus fours. Yes, there are quite a few chaps here. I mean, obviously, I know most of them because it's a very small town. But in terms of, you know, on a national level, I would say pretty high quotient of chaps, which is precisely why I live here.
Yeah. I need to ask. So, of course, you know, you've got to expand your mind, refine your wardrobe. It's a sensibility. It's about clothing and music. But you're quite political as well, because you go on protests.
Well, yeah, politics, perhaps you'd call it that. Yeah. We did a major protest a couple of years ago against Abercrombie and Fitch opening up a store on Savile Row. So I don't know if that counts as politics, but it was certainly agit fop, as we called it. It was entirely unsuccessful, as all protests are. But it was a lot of fun, and we made our point, and we just felt we had to sort of watch the sinking ship. You know, with a rallying cry, and you know, it was a lot of fun. We also did a protest against some of the more absurd sculptures in Tate Modern. They had a pile of of the resin cast of the inside of boxes in the Turbine Hall. It's enormous. This is in London. And so we went there dressed in Edwardian mountaineering gear and tried to climb it and got kicked out by security. But, you know, it's just.
Your walking stick didn't help you then.
It didn't help us then. No, it was no. We were given our marching orders. I think we wanted to sort of show that, you know, we're not just about, you know, sitting in pubs reading books and, I don't know, talking about the old days. That we actually have something to say and a point to make. So that was why we were doing that.
What was the which protest had the placard "Make gloves, not war"? Was that Savile Row?
Oh no, that's our first one. Our very first protest was called "Civilize the City," and it really was, you know, it was the big one. We took on the whole of London, and we just walked around. And the idea was to try and undermine everything we didn't like, and we felt that other people didn't like as well, who weren't necessarily chaps. So we marched into McDonald's in our tweeds, and we asked to be served devil kidneys and port, and again security were very busy that day. I think we probably, you know, but huge numbers up in the security trade that week. So yeah, we still, I mean, we did something, I mean, not so much a protest, we did the Grand Flaneur Walk only last year, which we would have done this year were it not for lockdown.
Yeah.
And that was a really simple, we thought, time for a not such an angry protest, and we just simply walked, a lot of us, about 100 of us, but we just walked around London dressed in our finery. But the whole point was there was no destination, because a flaneur is a sort of a derivation of a chap or a sort of, you know, a sub chap. The flaneur is just someone who walks around a city with no purpose or destination,
yeah,
other than looking fabulous.
Oh, I like that.
And we certainly did that.
Wow. Were you like this at school?
Was I like this at school? You mean, I don't know what this means to you. Was I an oddball? Yes, I was, but not in the way you might imagine. I wasn't wearing tweeds. I was at school in the early 80s, and I was a punk rocker.
Whoa.
I was the only punk rocker in school, and I, you know, got in trouble for having earrings and spiked hair. And so, you know, the chat thing kind of oddly sprang out of punk in just in that sense that lots of the people who follow it now, who are, you know, in their late 40s and early 50s, were punks, and they like the sort of we call our movement anarcho-dandyists, and it gives it that kind of edge, which I think is why we've survived, because there's always this sort of mysterious edge to it, you know, which it's sort of a mixture of things that don't quite go together. But they do in my head, and they do in the heads of all our readers. So it kind of, you know.
I love this. What do you eat?
What do I eat?
Not buttered toast.
Devil kidneys. Devil kidneys at every meal. No, I wouldn't say there's a chap diet, because that would be taking it a little bit too far.
I think you're missing a trick.
Maybe I am. We have got a cookery column in our magazine, but we stick to traditional, you know, roasts and the kind of the real basics that the chap should know how to cook. So no, I can't confess to there being a chap diet, but no, who knows? Maybe there should be.
And something else that I loved about the chaps, which confused me, because I thought that you'd be kind of anti-sport except for cricket, obviously. The chap,
yeah,
Olympiad, is that sport-based at all?
Well, you can hardly call it sport. The Chap Olympiad is a celebration of sporting ineptitude. So it's for all the people who didn't get picked for the football team at school, the wimpy kids, you know, the little thin guns with the vests hanging off. It's for them. All the naughty ones who are smoking fags in the bike sheds while they're supposed to be running around the track. No, it's so the events are specifically designed in the Chap Olympics not to be difficult, unless you're not a chap. So it involves things like riding a bicycle while holding an umbrella and jousting with someone else, and a bowler hat and a briefcase as a shield. I mean, not everyone can do that. You know, only chaps can do that sort of thing. So it really pits the real chappish skills,
yeah,
against other chaps, you know. And there's no sports wear allowed.
Good. No pencils.
So.
So if people found themselves on your website or reading your quarterly publication for gentlemen, what would they be enjoying? So it's features, there's a manifesto.
there's a manifesto which is always there, which, you know, has things like, well, thou shalt always wear tweed, which I just realised I might be breaking the cardinal rule myself. Uh-oh, I might get in trouble with the board of chaps. Yes, so funnily enough, we've got a new issue coming out tomorrow. It's just pure coincidence that you called me about this. But anyway, so just as an example, tomorrow's issue, which is available in all branches of Smiths, obviously, it has an interview with Saranoff Fiennes, fantastic hero, explorer, SAS member, you know, all about his adventures around the North Pole and whatnot. And then we've got a thing about how tango, the answer to lockdown is to learn to do the tango, because chaps are into dancing, all these proper old dances. We've got a tribute to Dame Diana Rigg, who sadly passed away recently. So it's a cross section of stuff. You know, we're not afraid to write about the swinging 60s or the 19th century. We've got a thing about Sir Richard Burton in there.
Oh.
And there are, of course, lots of things about clothes. I mean, what I love about social media is you can discover the most people you'd never have heard of. So we've interviewed an excellent hat maker who's Australian called Blakesby Hats, and he makes hats in the proper old-fashioned way with old wooden hat blocks. And he's running a business doing that from Australia. Who would have thought? So we're always tracking down interesting people, and there seem to be more and more of them. So this is, again, why we've survived so long, because as we keep going, more and more people are coming into this kind of world who make things, sell things, create things, and all with this kind of chappish, you know, kind of slant.
Who are some current chaps that you admire?
Oh, goodness me. We often get asked this. There are so few.
Can I say something? That was a terrible chap response, because if you'd had manners, you would have never said that. You would have said, what a fabulous question.
You're quite right.
Thank
I do apologise.
It's okay. Let's
rewind and pretend I didn't say that. And I'll say,
are there any current chaps that you admire?
Yes, it's a very good question. Thank you for asking. Stephen Fry is one of the great chaps. We've interviewed him a few times. I think he's still flying the flag. Alan Bennett, again, still flying the flag. Unfortunately, Sean Connery was a bit of a chap, but he's sadly gone as well.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Palmer,
yes.
Rest in peace. You see, it's a shame. They're all dropping. We interviewed Martin Freeman. I would say Martin Freeman is maybe a surprise choice, definitely a chap. Obsessed with clothes, and you know, more like sort of mod clothes, but absolutely obsessed with the shape of his collar and the cut of his trousers. All his clothes are made by tailors. So there you go. That's a good example
of a
modern chap who's not dead, thankfully.
I went to a party once and I was talking about Luther Vandross. The next day he died, and I really feel
you've got to be careful.
So, you know, I know you just mentioned Diana Rigg, but you don't seem to. Do chaps not like women?
Ah, that's a very good question.
Oh, one that you've never been asked before.
Never been asked that question in my life. Well, I would say there's a misconception there. Chaps love women.
Ladies.
You know, we at the Chap Olympiad, which was an annual event. In fact, the last one was held in Sussex in Firle, in the vintage fair. I would say that in audience wise, an exact 50-50 split between men and women. So absolutely no, you know, it's only at the live events we do when you can really see who your followers are, who's interested in this, who's reading it. And it was exactly as many women as there were as men.
Really?
I mean, don't forget, women. Well, women. The sartorial style for women, if you're looking at 1940s and 50s, is fantastic. You know, it's huge. There's a huge range, and I would say a lot more variety in the clothing. And then there's all the makeup and the hair and that whole look. You know, it's very chic. So, yeah, we have plenty of content aimed at women or about women in the chat. We have women writers, so I wouldn't say it's exclusive. It's just, I suppose, you know, you think chap, you think of a man. But lots of my female friends are happy to call themselves chapettes, you know, to kind of join in with the whole thing.
I want to be a chapette. I think I'm too casual for you.
Well, perhaps, but, you know, it's
I could wear
not,
slacks.
I mean, You could wear, exactly, you could go for the Katharine Hepburn thing, which those very wide sailor boy slacks, which you can get in quite a few shops now. Maybe a striped T-shirt, you know.
I love a stripe.
Well, exactly. It doesn't have to be that formal. You're probably thinking Miss Marple, aren't you, as soon as you think chapette.
Yes.
And people do. And some women can get away with that look, but not all of them. So others might go 50s. A great, you know, a polka dot, you know, a 50s frock.
Yeah.
With all the stockings and the shoes and everything. That's a good look.
Oh, I'm quite excited.
But if you like casual, I don't know if this is for you.
Right.
That's what I would say.
So you kind of reeled me in then, didn't you, a little bit? You gave me some hope. And then you just, wow, you need to rewrite that manifesto.
What's next?
What's next for Chap?
Well, survival is our prime concern. But, you know, we have survived because we're mainly, well, we sell by subscription mainly, although we do sell in Smiths as well, as I said. But we are, dare I say it, becoming a little bit of a brand, which I know smacks of vulgarity. But so we make other stuff as well as magazines. We make men's fragrances. We just launched a new fragrance called Raffish, which is a wonderful scent, which is designed to be worn after midnight by chaps off to search for mischief in their evening wear, of course.
What's the base note?
The base note is sandalwood.
Oh, I love this.
It's got a deep musky base, and then it's got lots of things like ylang ylang and lots of florals and black currants to lighten it. And I think it's a good one. We've launched a moustache wax called Debonair. I'm afraid to say we've made face masks because we had to make face masks only because the ones we saw were so horrible. And we couldn't stand the thought of our chaps walking around. And they were writing to us and saying, please make some face masks. So this is very make to amend, actually. We had lots of pocket squares, beautiful pocket squares designed by, in fact, a local designer in Hove, with these sort of Art Deco designs. So we got another local person in Hove, again, different person, to manufacture these, to turn them into face masks, really nice ones with a silk front and a cotton back.
They sound nice.
And they are nice. And so I didn't feel bad about, you know, cashing in, which I didn't see it that way, because it really was it was being requested. And they've done very well. And also, it's the other thing that lockdown has produced for us is we love sartorial rules. And there's a new sartorial rule, because traditionally it's always been about coordination between pocket square, necktie, and or cravat or bow tie. And now there's the third thing. It's the face mask. Do you coordinate it with the tie, with the pocket square? Neither, both, all, you know. It's a whole new world. It's sparked off. You wouldn't believe the amount of debate there is on.
Oh, I would.
Among the chaps about this.
I would.
Would you?
I really would.
Maybe you would.
Being a chap sounds a lot of hard work.
It is quite hard work. You are right. It is. It's there's not much time for relaxing.
Oh, but you must. Yeah, the magazine's fantastic. The site is fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us. What a treat.
Thank you.
And the issue's out tomorrow.
It's out tomorrow. You can get it at any branch of WH Smith.
And to find out more, it's thechap.co.uk. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Speak soon.
Okay. Cheers. Bye-bye.
How brilliant was he? I think I want to be a chap. Okay, let's have a look at the weather. There's this evening, tonight even, some patchy rain or drizzle is possible in the evening, then generally dry but cloudy overnight. It will be blustery and mild, minimum temperature 9 degrees Celsius. And tomorrow looks to be very mild with a brisk southwesterly wind. There will be a mix of patchy cloud and bright spells, maximum temperature 14 degrees Celsius. That's 57 degrees Fahrenheit. Nick Jonas from the Jonas Brothers and Jealous. Oh, Gustav Temple from The Chap, or just Chap now, made me laugh so much. He tickled me, and it wasn't just the moustache. He's so brilliant. It's a great website and a fantastic magazine. You should, have a look. They've had other issues, Martin Freeman on the cover, Alec Baldwin. He is really, really, really funny and smart and super brilliant. Thechap.co.uk. So yeah, I got the flat and I'm excited about the flat. I'm not moving until January. And I just think new year, new start, which is the kind of feature that I used to write when I had a writing career. Yeah, I'm really psyched. And I've got, do you name your furniture? So I've been sending people pictures of my furniture that I'm taking to the new flat with me, furniture that I need to get repaired, by the way. And I name my furniture, every bit of furniture I have. So I've got Cagney and Lacey. I've got two wardrobes called Cagney and Lacey. I've got a light shade called Shelley. I've got a table called Tracy. Not a table, like a kind of chest of drawers called Tracy. A little unit called Karen. What else have I got? Kelsey, little table. Lucy the lamp. She's lovely. What else have I got? Lynch. My mum. I've got my mum's nursing chair. How lovely is this? I've got my mum's nursing chair. And it's really low and it's kind of dimpled velvet. And it's like a mustardy gold colour. But actually, it's a nicer colour now. That doesn't sound too great. And I need to get that upholstered. So I'm kind of nesting, which kind of feels weird to take my furniture family with me to the new place. And as I said, you are all... None of you are welcome, so I can't even pretend that's true. Travis and Nina's song. So after nine on the show tonight, I'm BB Lynch, and this is BBC Radio Sussex, BBC Radio Surrey, live and local. We have an hour of upload where I love upload. So you send in poems, plays, little vignettes, monologues, and we play out the great ones, and sometimes I get the chance to chat to some of you, and I believe that's happening this evening. Coming up tomorrow on BBC Radio Sussex and BBC Radio Surrey, we have fabulous Jason Rosam, 5 to 6. And then on Sussex Breakfast, it's Danny Pike, 6 till 10. And Surrey Breakfast, it's Leslie McCabe, 6 till 10. And on tomorrow's Surrey Breakfast show, Leslie will hear how a vulnerable 92-year-old woman was attacked as she was in her bed at care home in Surrey. She was attacked by a resident who had dementia, and failings by the owners of the home have seen them being told to pay £125,000 in fines and legal costs. We'll hear from a nurse who says there is a lack of understanding about how to prevent COVID transmission, both amongst NHS staff and the general public. We'll hear from another of our wonderful finalists of our Make a Difference Heroes Awards. And our reporter has been to a Christmas tree grower in Surrey as they prepare to get out their axe and start selling from this Friday. And then we have gorgeous Sarah Gorrell, 10 to 2. How has lockdown and the pandemic affected your hospital treatment and operations? The number of people waiting over a year for hospital treatment in England has hit its highest level since 2008. And one listener in Hove contacted us to say his wife has had her operation cancelled 4 times. And they were initially told it was needed ASAP because she's considered vulnerable. So Sarah wants to hear from you as if you had a similar experience. Also on the programme, how can we get through this second lockdown? How's it feeling for you? How are you coping? Sarah will be speaking to a psychologist from the Sussex Partnership NHS Foundation Trust on how to look after our mental health while in lockdown. And then we have James Cannon, 2 till 6. James will be kicking off the show with the workplace playlist. So wherever you're working, tune in for some great songs to help keep you going. And now, I wonder if this is on the playlist tomorrow. It's the Black Eyed Peas and Where Is the Love? The Black Eyed Peas and Where Is the Love? I found myself strangely obsessed with Fergie for a long time, wondering if she'd ever met Fergie, our Fergie. Can you imagine? Who'd win in an arm wrestle, our Fergie or their Fergie? I think it's their Fergie. It's our Fergie. So coming up after the news, we have It's Upload, and I'm chatting with the creator of Collared Dove. Do you remember that? It's my new favourite song. Chris Ward. I've been singing that song all week and I want to know what it's about, why it's about, why it's about, why Chris wrote it, if he's going to write any more, if he's going to send anything else up into upload that's going to get in my brain and never leave my brain. And I think we've got other upload to play as well. But it's Chris after the news at 9. Clean Bandit, Jess Glynn and Rather Be. Hello, welcome to the second hour of Live and Local with BB Lynch. Thank you for joining us tonight. Please get in touch. We don't speak. Text me on 81333. Start your message with the word radio. You know what time it is now. So it's upload time. And it's our first upload of the week. And I have been waiting all week to play this again. It's my new favourite song. And in a couple of minutes, I haven't stopped singing it. In a couple of minutes, we'll be chatting to the creative mind behind it. For now, strap yourself in as we visit Chris Ward's garden and welcome the Collared Dove.
Live and local.
Upload.
BBC Radio Sussex.
And now we can chat to the man who created Collared Dove, my new favourite song, Chris Ward. Hello, Chris.
Hiya.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, thanks. This is very exciting.
How do you describe that sound of that song, Chris?
How do I describe that song?
What genre do you think it is?
Genre, I don't know. I mean, it's right. So what it is basically a combination of all the sort of stuff that I was listening to, everything that was going on around me when I first picked up the guitar when I was about 16, 17 sort of age.
Yeah.
And then I didn't play the guitar for a good 25 years or so, and then picked it up again a couple of years ago. So when I went to write my first song, I thought, yeah, I'll try and get all of that stuff in to kind of honour. If I hadn't done that at that age, then I wouldn't be doing this now.
16-year-old you.
So it's mostly Hawkwind, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's probably my main, the main go-to band for me. That's who I'm most into and always have been. There's a little bit, if you listen very carefully in the background, there's a bit of acid house going on with the bass line. A bit of sort of classic rock and punk.
It's been in my head for a week.
Cool. It's been in mine for months, a couple of years actually.
Why did you not play guitar for years?
I don't know. Well, I suppose. Right. So to be honest, I think I got to a point. I was sort of early 20s where I'd kind of started off like a lot of people my age and like where I grew up and everything, where it was kind of, oh, let's all like form a band and be big rock stars one day. And that'd be really cool.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen. And I got another career, which is great. And, you know, and that's all gone very well. So it just kind of, it kind of went by the wayside. And then, cut a long story short, anyway, yeah, a couple of years ago, I was chatting with someone and I thought, yeah, I might have a go at doing that again. That's basically it, really. And I started doing, like, open mics and that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I love it that you went back to it. And did it... bring back not just, I know you said the song's almost like an homage to kind of all the stuff you were into at that age, but did it bring back that kind of, you know, if you're creative and do create and then you suddenly stop, you're denying yourself, aren't you?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, well, I just sort of put my creativity into other things. So, you know, I've sort of done other art forms and stuff. I write, I've got a regular blog that I write and that kind of thing. But yeah, musically, yeah. Yeah, I think, yeah. I mean, I had spent years kind of thinking, oh, it'd be nice to have a guitar right now. And it's kind of, I remember when I used to sort of sit and play the guitar. And then eventually I did. It's all part of a kind of glorious midlife crisis I'm thoroughly enjoying, to be honest.
Do you know, I think mine's just hit me about 10 years too late. It's so weird. I'm definitely having my crisis now.
Whenever you like, really, don't you?
Yeah, where does midlife start and end? I guess it starts at 40.
Exactly.
Could start at 40 to 60.
Yeah.
What was I going to say to you? So you're going to have to. This is a really terrible thing to ask someone, but I'm totally going to do it. So I'm a soul girl, and I say girl very, you know, obviously in the right lighting. But I'm a soul girl. So Hawkwind to me gives me a virtual panic attack. Even you just saying that name. Explain the thrill of that music to you.
Well, the thrill of Hawkwind to me.
Or like heavy rock. Why is it that for you as opposed to R&B or jazz?
I think it's just, I mean, well, I grew up in Andover, which is like a, I don't know, it's kind of grown all the time. It used to be a small town in the middle of Hampshire, just down the road from Stonehenge. And we're kind of talking mid to late 80s. And so there was a free festival at Stonehenge every year, and Hawkwind were regulars. And it was just kind of in the air. It was kind of, you know, punk rock. We kind of came to Andover a bit late, as most things did, because it was a bit of a backwater.
When did you get punk? You know,
so yeah, it's kind of, yeah, so it's a punk and yeah, Hawkwind at that time was sort of, yeah, sort of punky as well themselves. It's just kind of what I know. I think if I'd grown up in a different environment, I would have been into R&B. But I sort of grew up in that strange part of the world where Hawkwind was kind of like the thing, or it certainly was for me and my peers anyway.
Oh, am I allowed to ask what career you went into?
Yeah, I'm a mental health nurse.
Oh, that's... Wow.
Yeah, that's a whole other story.
That's a whole other story. Yeah, that's a different show. but we can, of course, draw on your expertise right now. I mean, now's been an extraordinary time mental health-wise for pretty much everyone, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, yeah. I mean, yeah, and there is kind of a thing where I think, you know, I've got a bit of a drive to kind of help people out of misery. You know, and suffering and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's probably what's lent to me kind of deciding to write something that's a bit of a laugh.
Put that poor rat.
I mean, it's kind of like, if it'll raise a smile in anyone listening to it, then it's kind of job done for me. So.
Honestly, I love it. That poor rat, though. I think cool. You're a bit cruel to the rat.
I don't know what to say. I like collared doves. I'm not so keen on rats. And I think that comes across in the lyrics.
It really comes across. Is that actually the sound of a dove in the track?
That's an actual dove. Yeah,
it's an actual dove.
Yeah, which is, I then spent ages. That probably took me the longest out of the whole like production process was actually like cutting up and pasting a sample of a dove so that it would be singing in perfect full time.
Oh, this is so brilliant. And
then
hey, Chris,
once I'd sort of worked out how to do that, I thought, all right, if I can do that, I can do the whole song. That's going to be fine.
So I want you to write a song for me, because I hate moths, right? I really hate them. And yes, exactly. I know you're on my side of this. I could deal with a rat. Actually, no, that's not true. But there's a moth in this studio and it only comes out when I'm here. And I'm not bringing it in with me. It's just here. Even now as I speak to
it
you.
It just knows.
I just, do a song about moths. What made you...
I'll do a song about the knowing moth.
What made you do... What made you... they don't make noise, do they, moths?
Unless they get really close to paper.
Get that mic up. What was I going to say to you? Why did you send your track into Upload? What made you do that?
That's thanks to my dad, who hopefully is listening now. He's a poet. He's like, you know, he's got a book out. He regularly has a thing on the Outsome Society website and that kind of thing.
What's your dad's name?
Poetry. Tony Ward.
Hello, Tony.
Yeah, hi, Dad.
Hi, Dad. And what's his book?
He's into poetry. So somehow through that, he'd stumbled upon the Upload Show, I guess. And it would have interested him because it's largely people reading out their poems and all that kind of stuff. So he said to me, well, yeah, they do this thing where you can just upload anything. So you could probably upload your song.
Oh, it's so brilliant.
So I said, why not?
What's your dad's book of poetry called?
Oh, no. I was hoping you were laughing at. How embarrassing. I can't remember.
You're an awful son.
It's to do with Sussex. That's really embarrassing. I'm really sorry, Dad.
Send it in later. We'll read it out. That's hilarious.
It's about Sussex.
So how's lockdown treating you? Lockdown two?
Lockdown two is a lot better than lockdown one.
Yeah, isn't it?
I'm not crazy about either of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of a day at a time.
Is that how you keep your kind of head together with it?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, the recording has been. That's certainly, like lockdown one. That's I probably wouldn't have done this otherwise. But that was the thing. It's kind of, I mean, I like to go out. Wasn't able to leave the house really. I mean, if you remember, the first few weeks of the first lockdown, it was all pretty extreme. No one really knew what they could do. So a lot of us were just sort of going, well, I'll just save my bets and not do anything then. So I decided to kind of entertain myself by spending lots of money in Anderton's, like online Anderton's. I'm quite lucky that we got Anderton's Music Store in Guildford.
Oh, I didn't know, what you were saying then. You just kept saying words. Yeah. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, I'm name dropping. But yeah, so I got some recording equipment and tried to get my head around Pro Tools, and that kept me entertained.
Oh, this is so cool. Absolutely. So you're going to keep doing making music?
Yeah, there's an album on the way, and then a bit of world tour, headlining Glastonbury, maybe a Bond theme. I think that's how it works, isn't it?
That's exactly how it works. Hey, what's Stonehenge like? Does it feel?
What's Stonehenge like?
Yes, I've never been. Isn't it teeny?
Oh, that's a bit unfair. I'd say no, it's not. No, it's you know, it depends what you compare it to, doesn't it?
Really? Well, I'm almost 5'1", so how would it be compared to me?
Oh, yeah, no, it's a lot bigger than 5'1".
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I guess the stones are sort of getting on for about 10 feet tall, I guess, something like that. I don't know. It takes maybe 10 minutes to walk around it.
Chris, you don't know your dad. Name your dad's book. You don't know how tall Stonehenge is.
Yeah.
Terrible.
No.
Terrible. but when you're there, does it feel like it's kind of like on a ley line? Does it feel magical? Does it feel spiritual? What does it feel like?
Yeah, it depends on the weather, really. If it's a nice sunny day, and sort of generally things are going well in the world, then it definitely feels like a magical place, yeah.
That's so
cool. And then at other times, I don't know. It can be quite sort of cold and you think, all right, let's just go to the pub now. So it all depends, really.
So you're going to promise to write a song, and it's going to be about moths for me, about moths.
Well, I won't guarantee it will be about moths, but I might take some inspiration at some level from the idea of an all-knowing moth.
If you're going to write my name in the song, which only good manners means that you you kind of should. what would you rhyme with BB?
What would I rhyme with BB? That's put me on the spot, mate.
It's tricky, isn't it?
Hebe.
There you go. My uncle used to call me BB the Wee Wee. Don't do that.
Yeah, we're still in the garden theme.
There you go.
So, something to do with, BB sitting next to the Hebe or something.
I can't wait. Chris, it's really great to speak to you. I love Collared Dove. I really do.
Cool.
All you've got to do
is have a word with one of your colleagues on the national stations and get it on like Radio 1 or 2 or something.
I know everyone. I know everyone. I'm not even joking.
Well, I'm sure you do. Absolutely.
Just clear your diary for the next 2 years.
Because it's all it's worth.
Yeah, it's a little world tour. Okay, Chris, take care. Good luck to your dad's book as well. And we'll see you soon. Take care.
Thanks
bye.
Very much. Cheers. Bye.
Call 0800 232 1045. BBC
Radio Sussex. Oh, I loved Chris. If you've had, I don't know, a visitor to your garden, I'm thinking wildlife or, your neighbour's washing pants has flown over in the wind. Wasn't it windy? Oh, my God. Why not use it as inspiration to create something as special as Collared Dove, my new favourite song, and send it to us. Just head to the BBC, that's bbc.co.uk/upload for all the information. Depeche Mode and Enjoy the Silence, which is what they said to me when they made me sign the NDA. JC Stewart, Rest of My Life. Let's take a look at the weather for the rest of the week. Windy and mild on Wednesday with some sunshine at times. Clouds will increase in the afternoon ahead of a cold front that will bring showers late in the day. Thursday will be windy and cooler with cloudy spells in the morning, lengthening sunny spells developing in the afternoon as the winds diminish. And Friday will be sunny to start, but clouds increase in the afternoon.
Phoebe Lynch. BBC. Radio Sussex.
Destiny's Child, Bootalicious. I'll tell you something for nothing. None of you are ready for this lockdown jelly. It's out of control. Our next upload isn't about... our next upload this evening comes from the car of James Satton. James is a singer-songwriter from the Surrey-Hampshire border who managed to teach himself guitar, bass, piano, banjo and ukulele. More impressively, He records and produces all of his music in a Ford Fiesta. This is his track, I'm So Blue Without You.
Live and local.
Upload.
BBC Radio Sussex.
James Saturn, the best name on earth, with I'm So Blue Without You. You can find out more about James on his Insta page, James Saturn Official, and you can search for him on Spotify. And if you've produced something impressive in a Ford Fiesta or other small hatchback with impressive fuel economy, why not send it to us? Head on over to bbc.co.uk/upload. Years and Years and King. Our final upload this evening comes from animator and director Chris Cray. And I don't know about you, but 2020 has been quite the emotional roller coaster, hectic even. With everything that's been going on, it can sometimes be difficult to find time to really be centred and in the moment. Well, with Chris's help, we can now take part in some guided meditation. Breathe in.
Live and local.
Upload.
BBC Radio Sussex.
Have you heard about social mediation? It's like meditation, but with social media. Focus your mind on your feed and let all productive thoughts drift away. Stay in the moment by constantly refreshing the page. Stress and anxiety will decrease as real life means less and less to you.
And breathe out. We can speak to the brains behind social mediation. Please let me get that right. And the associated animation, Chris Cray. Hi, Chris.
Hi, BB. How are you?
I'm really good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm in my suburban lockdown utopia.
Oh, I mean, it won't stop, will it? Make it stop, Chris.
It doesn't seem to want to.
Come on, Chris. You know people. Make some calls. Okay. Make this happen. Tell me.
Absolutely.
Tell me. I wanted
who's
more.
Who shall I call first?
I don't know. Who do you know? Oh, on the Downing Street briefing today, Matt Hancock kept referring to Jonathan Van Tam as JVT. So why don't you put a call into JVT?
To JB. Let's just cut off some syllables.
Just JB. How did you come up with social mediation? And I wanted more of that. I wanted longer.
We can make longer. We can make
good.
More.
Good.
Well, really, I just go about my life. And when I do or think something ridiculous and awful, I note it down. And
it's like looking in a mirror, Chris.
Absolutely. I mean, what other inspiration could there be other than my own failings? But I was having lunch with some friends and they were talking aspirationally about staying in the moment. And I was like, well, am I staying in the moment? Look, Instagram. I'm in the moment. It's buffering. How more in the moment could it be?
Have you been horrified to see your screen time, that you know when it comes up with a couple of hours or how many hours, have you been shocked?
Your screen time has doubled.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I did eight hours.
It's a badge of honour.
Well, it's not a badge of honour.
8 hours.
Yes.
You're talking about a badge of honour. You know, audible.com, they give you badges. Like,
right.
The more addicted to Audible,
yeah,
you get. Have you ever seen this?
Not a badge.
You must have more. Yeah, they give you little merit badges. They call you the librarian. You've spent 72 hours on audible.com. Get the librarian.
Seriously, though, how are we going to get you away from social media then?
The radio's a good start. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's a slightly different medium.
Oh, no, you're welcome. Hey, you know what I haven't seen yet and I really want to watch it? The animation. What's the animation like with this?
Yes. It is great. Having slaved for months making like a visual feast of an animation and then for it to be on radio. But then thank you so much for appreciating it exactly how it was intended.
Can you tell us a little bit about the animation?
Yeah, absolutely. So I work in commercials mostly. which has in no way left me jaded or so we made a mock commercial, and actually lots of folks on Instagram did stop by and went, I really thought that was a commercial, you know, for them, because it's very short, so it should be clear pretty quickly. But I mean, maybe commercials are just so mad these days that you know, it's plausible. But yeah, and it's pretty brightly colored, and we have a rule with these comics and animations that nothing can be the right color. So sort of, you know, imagine the Simpsons, because it's sort of the world gone awry, you know, like, you know, like this, if you take the logic of the Simpsons, where like Bart's skin is yellow but everything else is perfectly normal, so we've just gone, well, everything should be wrong, everything should be absolutely wrong, but in some way recognizable.
Okay, so trees are red, so, or something.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And you can come and work on it. This is good. Trees are red now. But yeah, and so it's our protagonist is the voice you hear, and she's telling us about social mediation, and she's you know, she believes in it deeply, and you know, and she's there with her balding middle-aged husband, who in no way resembles me, sort of yelling at her behind her, and her young child, you know, bawling his eyes out, and you know, we're glued to the screen. It's very healthy.
Oh, have you had what's the screen done for you, like, during lockdown? Has it have you had house envy? Have you had lifestyle envy? I've turned into more of a lurker. So what is it they call it? Is it gloom scrolling? Have you been doing that?
Oh, wow. That sounds pretty heavy. Yeah. Gloom scrolling.
Yeah, I might have made that
up. So what is, well, it's amazing. Yeah. What is gloom scrolling?
Well, I think, I don't mean made it up in that I should get credit for it. I think I might have just lied.
Please do.
I might have just actually totally...
Is that all news, right? All, it's the bad news. Just waiting for the next piece of bad news to arrive.
But I'm getting RSI. I'm just going through it and then getting, like, just slightly. I do fear that I'm going to die from an ulcer before anything else. You know,
Well, you know, like how you're meant to bring up your kids and they're meant to do good things and you praise them. But if you go wrong, they'll do negative attention seeking.
Okay.
And I think the world's definitely doing negative attention seeking to us.
What do we do, Chris?
I don't know. What would a good parent do to a negative attention-seeking child? You should sort of find something that it's good at and then praise it for it. So you can go, well done for being sunny today, world. Good, you know.
Chris, this might need a bit of work.
And then hopefully it will... Oh, see, it's not going to cure all ills. Oh, okay, fine. I'll go back to animation.
Yeah, just go back to animation. Has you don't have to say, because this is obviously a very private personal question, so of course I'll ask it.
What are you going to ask?
Chris, I have to ask. No, how's animation been? I mean, how's work been? Has everything changed for you, or is it kind of okay? Or how's business?
Well, there's no reason for animation to be any different. I mean, the fact that we were all together in an office was pretty arbitrary. Wow. And we were all just plugged into podcasts anyway, animating away. So now we're all on, like, virtual offices. And I think we're doing pretty much... We're probably being just as sociable in our houses, animating. I mean, i.e. not sociable at all. I mean... Animation studios are fun, but I mean, maybe it's 10 minutes of fun having a cup of tea before everyone just goes back to their podcasts and drawing pictures.
This is so great. Animation, what a great gig. Do you do stuff with
Play-Doh? Oh, it's pretty fun. I have done stuff with Play-Doh. Oh. I mean, you can't have Aardman exist and not have done stuff with Play-Doh.
Yeah.
I'm a drawing guy, so, you know, drawing's always, I was always that guy. And, yeah, escape from the world through drawing. Play-Doh less so, although I've got a 4.5-year-old daughter, so the Play-Doh's been out for years and different things. So I'm getting better at it.
Do you know, and do you remember the old school flick cartoons? You know, that you, do you remember those?
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
My uncle did
Yeah.
Sorry, my uncle did the funniest thing once. I went, oh, this is so hilarious. there's a place called, it was called Shuttleworth, and now it's called Phoenix Arts Club, and it's next to the Phoenix Theatre on Charing Cross Road in London. And I was sober, Chris, honestly, I promise. I managed to fall down the first lot of stairs, got to the little kind of flat bit of floor, fell down the second lot of stairs. I was meeting my uncle and a date, broke my thumbnail, went to the loo's, got myself back in, you know, kind of like normal state, and then just kind of, you know, ta-da, into the room. No one mentioned it. That was fine. And I met my uncle for breakfast the next day, and he'd drawn an animation of it, and it was one of those little flick cartoons. Wow.
That's very empathetic of him.
Say nothing
at the time, yeah. And then just draw a picture to sort of immortalize your shame.
Isn't that just brilliant? Do you?
That's wonderful.
I don't know, but I guess everything you do now is not like that. Is not drawing on a piece of paper that you can flick. But it kind of is.
It is though. It really is, because you know, like the art form is the same. It's still just one drawing after another. And like, you know, anyone who that doesn't drive them crazy and gets through the fact that they just have to do that, it's the same. It's the same as it ever was. The only good thing is that with computers, you can do like a million drawings and then just press play and it will play it back to you just as it is. Whereas, you know, that wasn't always the way. Like you get films, I think in like the hippie times, there was this guy, American guy, who just went, let's save loads of money. People don't need to actually see what their animation looked like as they go. Let's just draw it and then just straight away a film. And so, they didn't look at it and test it. But yeah, we get to test it all the time. That's the only thing the computer does. But we just draw. Yeah, we just draw our pictures and that's it.
Oh, I want your life. Chris?
Yeah?
You're on chriscray.com. People can find you there.
That's right.
And see your fabulous work there. And will you continue to send some stuff into us?
Absolutely. And also I started a studio called this year, the lockdown madness caused a production company. It's called somesense.co.uk. Like nonsense, but some sense.
Oh, I love that. That's so cool. I love that.
But yeah, I'd love to send some more stuff in, of course.
Please do, because I really love that. Chris, it's so great to chat with you. Good luck in lockdown. Be good. Behave.
Thanks so much, BB. You too.
Thanks, Chris. If you fancy sending us some mediation or meditation that we can do together next week, head over to bbc.co.uk/upload for all the details. Namaste. I love that song so much. Declan J. Donovan and Perfectly Imperfect. Thank you for joining me this evening. I hope you've enjoyed the show. I've really loved the show. And what fantastic guests. Thank you, Gustav Temple, Chris Ward and Chris Cray. We're back next week. BBC Radio Sussex, BBC Radio Surrey from 8 till 10 on Monday night. And let me leave you this week with James Blunt and You're Beautiful. Have a fantastic week.